where to check if you want to know the future price of oil. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. A powerful Saudi official was asked today if Saudi Arabia will keep oil prices low by sticking by its decision not to cut production. Oil Minister Ali Al-Naimi said, quote, "No one can set the price of oil. It is up to Allah," he told CNBC. The price of crude oil was up about 3% earlier this morning. Using the benchmark Texas price, it was around $60.61 a barrel. On Tuesdays, we consult our analyst from the Heartland, Julie Neiman, at Smith Moore & Company in St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, David.
What changed? What accounts for this?
You've got a lot of storage going on, and we reduced some of the inventory that was being reported and bigger demand picking up. This happens every spring. Everybody emerges from their cocoons, starts driving, starts using more energy. So all of a sudden you have demand for refined product, and so the shoulder season is pretty much past us now.
So the price jumps like it's doing today, and I suppose some of that stockpiled supply could end up showing up at our shores driving down the price.
Right now, we have about 33 million barrels of oil floating inventory in tankers out in the respective oceans. They're waiting to come in and dock and take it off to the refineries. It's a very expensive way of storing oil. So anytime you get an uptick in prices, they start the conga line coming back in again. And then the price will start to drop again. We're going to play this game over and over again until we get significant pickup in demand for oil. And that simply isn't coming. Europe is still struggling to stay out of recession again. The United States is growing 2.2%. That's less than robust growth. Even China has been slowing down. So we're looking at very slow global growth, which means there is absolutely no way you're going to be seeing significant pickup or permanent pickup in the price of oil.
All right. Well, we'll keep watching this number here. Julie Neiman at Smith Moore & Company. Thank you.
You bet.
And for years, these six words have seemed to run together with no spaces or hyphens. PIMCO, the world's biggest bond fund. Well, not anymore. The longest word in the English language is now Vanguard, the world's biggest bond fund. Sure, there are medical and chemical terms that are longer, but don't tell me supercalifragilistic, et cetera. That is a nonsense word. This morning, two institutional food industry titans face off against federal antitrust authorities in court. From Washington, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The two companies are national giants in food distribution, U.S. Foods and Sysco. That's S-Y-S-C-O, not the tech company. They sell meat and produce and paper goods to chain restaurants and hotels. The Federal Trade Commission sued to block the merger, arguing it would control 75% of the national market. Darren Bush teaches antitrust law at the University of Houston. He sees an opportunity here for the FTC to show its teeth to the business community.
The ability to flex your muscles to actually bite is a function of how well you've bitten in the past. If you can't quite make your case, that's going to make you a little more reluctant in the future.
The food companies argue that a merger still leaves a lot of space for competition at the local level. Morningstar analyst Aaron Lash says, for instance,
companies that focus in produce or seafood or other proteins. There are also online options.
The two sides will appear in federal court for at least 4 days. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Staying with food here, if tomatoes, chicken, or strawberries did not taste like wood pulp, maybe we wouldn't have to slather everything with ranch dressing, melted cheese, salt, or treacly syrup. What does it mean for taste and nutrition that the building blocks of a meal often don't taste like much? There's a new book out today titled The Dorito Effect, The Surprising New Truth About Food and Flavor. Its author, Mark Schatzker, came by with some examples of stuff to eat that taste fine on their own. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
So what's happened? Things got sort of bland, you think?
The real food we grow is getting blander and blander. It's been doing it for decades.
So foods, tomatoes, lettuce, sometimes strawberries, but also delicacies like chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate is under real threat right now. It's under threat from disease. It's under threat from growing markets. And there's going to be a lot of pressure to make chocolate more productive. And this is almost always where flavor gets lost because we breed our crops to be bigger and we don't care about flavor.
But it doesn't have to be, you say?
It doesn't have to. And I don't think it will be because of a small lab in Costa Rica called Cartier who has been breeding chocolate for flavor. And what they've shown convincingly is that if you care about flavor, you can keep flavor. So what I have here with me today is a blend of five new varieties of chocolate. They have five times the yield. They've got great disease resistance, which means they won't get wiped out and leave some poor farmer high and dry. And they taste amazing.
Now, I have been listening to you. This can be done without radically raising the cost of food. You're also saying this can be done and mass-produced. This is significant, Mark, because by some projections, the next 40, maybe 50 years, the globe may have a food shortage.
We are so stuck on it's got to be 99 cents. We don't buy cars that way. We don't buy cell phones that way. We know better clothes cost a bit more money. But for some reason, we're all cheapskates when it comes to food, and I think that needs to change. It doesn't mean buying ridiculously expensive food. It just means buying better food. And the nice thing about these varieties, the truth is they plug into any system. If you want to shop at a farmer's market, it can be done there. If you want to grow it on a mass scale and ship it around the country, you can do that too.
Food writer Mark Schatzker contributes to Canadian Broadcasting. He's also contributed to Condé Nast Traveler, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. The new book is called The Dorito Effect. Mark, thank you.
Thanks very much.
You can hear more about what Mr. Schatzker sees as a link between better taste and better nutrition as I sit there eating Doritos. It's at marketplace.org, the whole thing. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.